Yo, yo, what is going on, you guys? It is your girl here, Simply T, Doubly Poetry, daughter of the late, great Jane Zane of the living and giving Lisa L. And welcome to another episode of the Paradigm Shift Combo, a show created to spark interest and conversation on societal norms, and in most cases, challenges relevance and agenda. The idea of shifting the paradigm is considered rebellious or brash, but in the spoken word open mic communities in which I dwell, this disruption is not only common, but required. Hi, I'm Simply T Poetry, a combat veteran stumbling back into civilian life with a probationary opinion and a handcuffed tongue, excited to freely speak about whatever the hell I want. This is a Paradigm Shift Combo. Yo, yo, you guys, it is yet another day of the Paradigm Shift Combo. Super excited about the guest I have in the building today. And I'm not going to give y'all too much time and let y'all wait too long on exactly all of the content that I have coming forward. However, I do want to let you guys know that today, Mr. Andre Alexander, producer, songwriter, music extraordinaire, is in the building, and all the people that he has worked with, to include Miss Patti LaBelle, Estelle Music, Common, Jill Scott, Badu, and Lettuce, just to name a few of my favorites, not to go down the line of the thousands that I could go on for, but I'm just so excited to have him in the building. So I'm going to give him the opportunity to just give you a small snippet of everything and who he is. So welcome, Mr. Andre. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, born in Maryland, went to school in Washington, D.C., of course, I'm a veteran. 4 years in the United States Marine Corps as a musician. I feel like, whatever. I felt a little bit of
hoorah.
Animosity.
Hoorah. I'm sympathetic.
Okay, about to make sure, making sure. Then I was also in the Navy Band of Washington, D.C., which is a presidential support unit. So I was assigned to the White House as a pianist as well.
Okay.
So 8 years altogether. 4 years Marine Corps, 4 years Navy.
Okay, so you were in the Navy.
Yes, Marine Corps first, then Navy.
Interesting. So Marine Corps boot camp. Most people don't do that.
But most people wasn't in the presidential
situation. And that's something else. So did you move for that job?
No, it's so funny. You know, I ended up, that's in D.C. So I went from Quantico, Virginia, right back to D.C. So it wasn't too crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so keep going. Tell us more.
I'm a best-selling author on the topics of music business. Build Your Music Career from Scratch is in its second edition, and that's on Amazon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What else? I'm a composer for film and television. I've worked on Empire. I've worked on the Birth of a Nation soundtrack with Meek Mills, Pusha T, Neo, all those guys.
Wow.
And I'm an educator. I worked at the Los Angeles Film School for a while, and I'm currently teaching at USC. So I educate and I entertain, I guess.
Tell me more about your position at USC. What do you do?
I teach, at this semester, I'm teaching a course, two courses, one for the graduate students on like careers and revenue streams in the industry, and an undergraduate course on about the introduction to the music business, like intellectual properties, basic of contracts, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. Oh, so it's more than music.
Yeah, well,
way more.
Yeah, which that's a whole other conversation because I mean, music is absolutely one side of it. But being from Washington, D.C., I feel like I know the most talented musicians on earth.
Mm.
And when I got to Los Angeles, I was like, it's a shame that the people who I know and love aren't as successful as some of my Los Angeles friends. So I went about, I finished a master's degree in music industry administration to learn about the business side, and which got me into writing, you know, books. I was writing before that, but, you know, more writing so that I can actually get the information that's needed for successful artists, great musicians to actually break into the industry successfully versus being taken advantage of, signing deals that they hate, you know, all that.
Hmm. You sound reminiscent of one of my first guests, Miss Rosa Valeno. She's like really, really big on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's super interesting.
I know Rosa. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's, yeah, okay. Because I was like, y'all have so much in common. I was y'all need to know each other.
No, she's like, yeah, she's awesome.
Dope. So I want to kind of walk us through how you got to L.A., right? So being from D.C. and playing for the band and Princes in Norway and just being on that Washington band as in the Navy, like, were you always musically inclined? Like, what was that for you?
So I came from a musically inclined family. My dad's a musician. My mom sings. My whole family plays something or writes or, you know, is creative. And then I went to Duke Ellington School for the Performing Arts in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. And, you know, even in high school, I was traveling, in, you know, to Alaska and France and places like that. And I just had this this mindset that I can do whatever it is I want to do, wow. you know, and just be open to it. So while in the Marine Corps, I did a lot of work in New York. My very first major project was Vanessa Hudgens, the High School Musical. Uh-huh. So, like, it's this song that's in, like, 5/8. It's like, I played organ on it and some piano and strings.
Oh, wow.
And then I was like, yo, I just love this. So when I was getting out of the Navy, I had worked, I'd done the Real Thing tour, Jill Scott's Real Thing tour, mm-hmm. playing for Raheem Devon.
Wow, I was super excited. I love Raheem Devon.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's amazing. So I did that, and then I ended up in Atlanta for like a couple weeks at Big Boys in them studio, learning how to run Pro Tools. You know, so I'm like, yo. So after that, I left. The tour was over, went home, and I was like, what am I going to do with my life? Now I'm out of the military, like, what am I going to do? And I was like, I'm going to move to New York. So everybody knew I was going to move to New York. I had the key, you know, apartment ready to go.
Right.
And then at the last minute, it was like, I know I have a lot of friends in New York. I want a challenge. Like, if I can make it in New York, could I make it in Los Angeles? And, like, with 2 weeks' notice, quit all the jobs, and I literally just drove 5 days to get to L.A.,
You got here and there was just P. Diddy sitting person. On the corner. Like, what happened?
Well, okay. So it's so funny. I knew one person. So she was like, you can sleep on my couch and, you know, wait till you get a job and, you know, you can figure it out. Just stay for like a month or two.
Right.
Perfect. Got here March 1st, 2009. March 1st, 2009, she goes, this other person can't pay their rent. Can you pay the half of the rent? I literally had $460 in my pocket.
Mm.
The rent, my half of the rent would have been $400. So
wow.
I was like, yo, I could take this 400, go back to Maryland, or I'm going to die in L.A. And I was like, I guess I'm going to die in L.A. And I just paid the $400, no gig, no nothing. And I was like, let's go. March 2nd, after, you know, Los Angeles, we were smoking a lot of weed. So March 2nd, like, I got to get my life together. Like, what's happening?
Right.
March 2nd, I go on Craigslist. It was like, looking for an African-American jazz pianist. I was like, that sounds just like me. I sent in a picture. That was it. Sent in a picture. And I got a reply. Like, come to the thing. I get there March 3rd, Kanye West music video.
No way.
That's how I started. No, but that's literally what happened. Like, I just
crazy.
Got here and it was March. Yeah, same thing.
Wow. Okay, so now you're featured in a Kanye West video.
That was March 3rd. If I told you the whole story, you'd be like, yo.
That is amazing. Yeah. And did just doors begin opening up?
Yeah, but I mean, they were doors. They weren't lucrative doors at the beginning. You know, it wasn't like I was making a lot of money initially, but I ended up at the Capitol building. Michael Jackson, I can remember, it was like same week. Michael Jackson week, the Capitol building for American Idol. Like, I'm sitting there watching, like, the original band prepare for the thing before Michael had died.
Wow.
And this was, like, the same week I got another gig. It was like I was making enough to eat food every day, kind of. But it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't the breakthrough, oh my God, you made $1 million thing yet.
So
but,
you were like not starving artists.
I mean, I starved. I mean, I didn't die, but, you know, yeah, there were a lot of times, like especially when I first got here. I was just taking any gig I could take because the joy of being in Los Angeles, and I would work for free for the artists that I loved. Just to say that I did it versus I have to be paid immediately. And I think that's also a currency, you know, boosting of your resume. That's
absolutely
something. So, you know, I did a lot of stuff for free.
I think that that's important to bring forward because I feel like in today's society, and I say this all the time, it's just such a microwave society with so much social media.
Yeah, yeah.
And people feel like we see the successes.
Yeah.
And, you know, as like the song says, these overnight celebrities, right? But what you don't see is the billions of people who didn't make it.
Yeah,
all you see is that one that did.
Yeah.
And then the things that you don't see is everything that they did to make it. Because you just didn't know them yesterday. And now all of a sudden,
you know them, yeah.
They're on Kanye's video.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't know what it took. You don't know how. And I've had people on my show talk about how they lived in their own storage facility. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't know what people are going through and how hungry it is and the things that it takes. So for you to just be very open and say, no,
It won't like
no.
P. Diddy was waiting on me.
No, and not at like, all.
Even when Kanye was waiting on me,
okay,
I was still hungry.
How much do you think I made for that Kanye West music video?
10 G's.
$30.
What?
$30. I was like, I was featured as a pianist in the video. It was like so. People think, and I did an interview once, and I was so offended when the person said to me, what do you tell people who weren't as lucky as you? And I was like, luck. And that word was just like, it just, like, just right. Pierced my head. Like, what do you mean luck? What when you see someone successful, they did the thing that the average person would not do.
Right.
They have the same 24 hours in a day. They have the same ability. I practice for how many years?
Oh.
How many piano lessons did I take? How many boot camps that I go through, how many, you know, I was very conscious of building my resume. How many times I was doing 4 gigs at a time. I would wake up at 5 in the morning, and I was working for this school that worked at elementary school, like a theater company for elementary schools. Mm-hmm. I would literally score, the children would write the play, and the actors would be on stage acting for the children.
Right.
And then I would score live the thing.
Wow.
And I did that until like noon. Then I had to drive from Orange County all the way to Universal City at a studio, and I would be there till 4 in the morning. So till 4 in the morning, I would get back in the car, rush, maybe sleep for 5 or 10 minutes, do it every day. You know what I mean? But I was living the dream with like writing for people, working for people that I loved. And it was like, yo, that's dedication. That's not, I hope somebody gives this to me. That's like, yo, I'm going to do what it takes for this to be successful. You know what I mean?
But it looks like luck.
It looks like luck.
It looks like luck.
I made it look easy, but right. That doesn't mean it was easy.
It's not even that you made it look easy. It's that people weren't looking.
Mm.
People don't look until they see. Like, oh, you don't see the what I do in the background. You just see the glamour.
That's it.
And I feel like it is just a product of our environment.
Yeah.
Because people don't show the struggle.
Yeah.
That ain't cute.
That's not Instagram worthy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's not Instagram worthy. Yeah. I don't want you to see that. No, what I want you to see is, oh, look at this house I got.
Yeah.
You don't get to see the struggle. And somebody I constantly bring up, but I feel like she's just the perfect position to be it, because I'm falling in love with her now, is Cardi B.
Yeah.
So I'm not a huge fan of her music. But it's okay, because she's not a musician.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But she's an entertainer.
And
right. She's an entertainer, yeah.
And it's like, oh, like, we look at her and people think that you can have the same persona as her and be her. But that's not the case.
Not the case.
You don't know what she did to get the positions that she get. All you know is what you see now.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can go into the correlation between, think about how many hours of dedication it was for her to be able to entertain. They can say she was a stripper, but yo, every stripper is not successful. Yeah, think about that. Every stripper is not successful.
Right.
What was it about her that that she had that it quality to be entertaining? And now she still has that same it quality that she developed over hours and hours and hours of stripping. You can say what it is you want to say about that, but that's still a gig.
Right.
It's still entertainment. And she took that same ability to now entertain millions of people. It's still the 10,000 hour concept.
Right.
It's still entertainment. It's still perfecting. What is that thing? Instant rapport.
Right.
All of these things you develop as an artist. You know what I mean? And again, that whole concept, people are not willing to drive 3,000+ miles from one coast of the United States of America to another coast, missing your family grow up and people getting old, and you're missing holidays because you can't afford to go home. Like, they don't see all of that. They just go, oh, you left and you made it. Yo, the sacrifice.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, you were a waitress at some L.A. Like, you came to L.A., became a waitress, and all of a sudden, you're a superstar actress. No, because that doesn't... You know how many people come to L.A. to try to make it and aren't actresses?
Yeah,
like, let's, exactly. You know, but all you see is the one that did.
That's
so
it.
I definitely understand. I told my wife the other day, is it's important to build disciplines.
Mm.
Because what's easy to do is easy not to do.
Mm.
It's easy to wake up every morning at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
It's also easy not to wake up every morning at
And five think about o'clock. That. You just said something. It takes the same amount of energy to be successful as it does not to be successful.
It's so simple.
That really is it. So, and somebody, like, for example, somebody was like, Dre, you have a boat. And I was like, yes, I have a boat. And I own it with some friends, 2 friends of mine, and we pay the little fee at Marina Del Rey. And they were like, yo, you have a boat. That's crazy. You must be super paid. And I was like, my portion of the rent, the docking fee for the boat,
mm-hmm.
is less than I would pay for cable. So I don't have cable.
Right.
I decided not to have cable because I wanted a boat. What is the difference? So instead of having every pair of shoes, I decided to write a book and hire an editor. So the same amount of money that I'll pay for $100 pair of shoes, I can hire somebody. What is the difference? It's allocation of your funds and resources. One, you can wear on your feet that get dirty and you throw them in the trash. One can generate money for you. Or generate ideas, or, you know, whatever it is. Right. Or, you know, so it's not that I have more than anyone else. It's just that I use it differently. That's it.
You have plans.
That's it. You have to have a plan. You
have plans.
That's it.
So something you said earlier, something that was exciting to me, was you talking about basically directing a score live. Mm-hmm. Now that you said it and you kind of ran through it, but it's not easy. that's not an easy feat to do. And I'm at all not a musician, but I know how difficult it is to work live and do something on spot, on key, and watching. So for you to do that, like, what, I know, obviously you're a music producer, but when it comes to like doing musical plays and producing that, what is that like for you?
You're gonna laugh at this, but I think there are more musicians who are capable of doing that than the average person would believe.
Really?
And I'll tell you exactly where we all come from. Like, I actually was born in the church, you know what I mean? My grandmother's a minister, like on the front pew, all of this. So think about that concept. You're sitting in a church, and what happens? Your job as a musician is to emote. If the service is going here and people want to cry, you better play that chord that makes them cry. If they want to now be jubilant and do backflips, you better hit the chord that's going to make them think about that. So that means for years and years and years, you have hundreds of thousands of musicians all over the world who do it every single day but don't understand how valuable it is and commercially. Think about that. I mean, really, it's like somebody's talking and there's talk music. Same concept. So when I got the presidential piano, presidential pianist gig, I got it because they were like, you can play multiple keyboards at once. And I was like, yes, I play a Hammond B3 organ with the thing. No, yes, because where I was born from, everybody did those things.
Right.
But I realized that was the moment at 19 that I realized, yo, this is not common. Even though it's common where I'm from, this is not common, you know, internationally around the world. So that was one of the things that allowed me to understand that I could capitalize and monetize.
And let's be fair now, because I've spent a lot of time in DC and I know a lot of DC musicians. So I definitely agree with you with the musicians in DC that I know.
Yeah.
And I've heard, I'm like, and you know, it's all about the drums in DC. So I can, you get on that yoga. I'd be like, so I know, you know, and I've been to different places, and I know when it comes to DC, it's all about the drums. Yeah. And I've heard other drummers, and I'd be like, nah, got it. So I definitely understand, but what I think you don't account for is the fact that because you're from DC, that might be common. But even in that aspect, there are only certain people within those churches that have to tell everybody, this is what we're going to do. You know, there's that band member.
Yeah.
And you need to just accept that you're that band director. Everybody ain't the band. That. You know what I mean? Everybody, you can teach and people will follow, but everybody don't see it. Like, oh, we need to bring it up. Oh, we need to bring it down. And that's something innate in you. And it probably does have more people in your area, like where you're from, but it ain't
nationwide. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, there's a lot of phenomenal musicians all over. It's just, you know, that
they don't have the ability that you have. So I do want you to, like, because I know it's so difficult for us to kind of accept compliments. But everybody can do it. No, nigga, everybody can do it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank
you. So, I definitely want you to accept that you're definitely different and special in that quality. But overall, I understand how it just became so easy for you because it was like, you got to do it.
That's it.
Because the church is like, I'm about to get fussed out by the pastor.
Yeah, that's it, or something crazy. So honestly, that's where I developed that you have to be on 100% of the time. So then when I then transition from that to the
structure.
Yeah, the very structured gig, it's the same kind of concept. And then from that to, if someone's doing this, it was like, I do this every week, you know, for my whole life. So then it's just put strings on it versus a Hammond B3 organ or a piano or whatever it is. And if that's the gig, and I moved to Los Angeles because I wanted to score for film and television. So that was like, okay, I feel like I can do this. And that literally is the same skill I use today whenever I'm working on a film. That's, I'm looking at it like, just like I would if I was in, you know, on a stage emoting, same exact concepts. So, you know, music is universal.
Volunteering to help people in need is a noble gesture. Volunteering to lay down your life for your country is a sacrifice that can never be repaid. In an effort to keep my fellow veterans connected to society and each other, this is VetNet.
Veterans, have you ever been interested in information technology, cybersecurity, or even hacking? Well, the Federal Virtual Training Environment, FedVTE, is a free online, on-demand cybersecurity training system that is available at no charge. Managed by the Department of Homeland Security, FedVTE contains more than 800 hours of training on topics such as ethical hacking and surveillance, risk management, and malware analysis. Course proficiency ranges from beginner to advanced levels. Several courses align with a variety of IT certifications, such as Network Plus, Security Plus, and the Certified Information Systems Security Professional, that certification that I am after, you guys. As the technology advances, the United States must continue to develop a workforce of effective cybersecurity professionals. And who more qualified to be these professionals than veterans? The substantial investment made by these programs like this help veterans like us find the education and training needed to advance our careers and close the skill gaps in the cybersecurity workforce. To know more about the FedVTE program, all you have to do is log on to FedVTE, Fed like the first three letters of federal, VTE, Victor Tango Echo, .US Learning, that's United States Army, learning as in that thing you did in school, .gov, that's fedvte.usalearning.gov. Thank you, FedVTE, for continuing to put veterans and their families first. Veterans, let's stay connected.
How many music instruments can you play?
I'm not that guy who can play everything great. But I do play basically anything with keys. Mm. So accordion, pipe organ, Hammond B3 organ, piano. I also play trumpet, euphonium. And then, like, the lesser instruments, like, I can play a little bit of bass if I have to and plunk out a couple chords and guitar if I have to.
That's a lesser instrument?
Yeah. I mean, lesser meaning lesser skilled instrument. Like,
you know what
I
mean? That takes a lot less.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not the one with those skills. So I can play it if I have to. And drums, of course. Like lesser meaning less. That's the least skilled instrument for me.
Right. No, I'm horrible at the guitar. I know two chords. So... Three.
You're probably better than me on that. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
No, that's dope, though. I appreciate that. I think that just having the discipline to learn an instrument says a lot about a person. It's kind of like equivalent to being able to say, like, you go to the gym. It's one of those things, what's easy to do is easy not to do.
Yeah.
So if you find the conditioning of trying to learn it, yeah. The same thing about going to the gym. It's like, why do I cannot do it and still be fine?
Yeah, it's so funny you say that. What was it? I wanted to say, I was watching these, you know, billionaires talk about success or whatever. And he said, everybody thinks that they can do anything. You can tell a child, you can do whatever it is you want to do. Mm-hmm. I think it was Dan Reno, or I forget his last name, but billionaire guy, the $50 billion guy. And it was like, you can do whatever you want to do. He's like, no, you can't. But you can do what you want to do that you're passionate about. You see, that's slightly different. So I was very passionate about music.
Right.
So that's like, you didn't have to tell me to go practice the piano. I was begging to practice the piano, you know? But he has to tell you to cook, because you're probably like, yo, I want to cook.
No, it's like, my spouse wants to eat.
It's a combination platter.
Right.
The combo platter.
Right, I have to learn how to cook, because I don't want to get a divorce. So when you were traveling with the Navy band... When you were traveling with the Navy bands, you went everywhere.
It was so funny. I traveled more outside of the military.
Really?
Yeah, like over 40 plus countries outside of the military. I did a few in, like my favorite, of course, I always talk about the Crown Prince of Norway gig.
Dope.
And I had a top secret security clearance. They would let us all these places, but then they flew us to Norway. And Oslo, Norway is still one of my favorite places on the planet. Because I was young, you know, I was maybe like 19 or something like that, and now I'm in, no, no, 22, whatever, still young. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's like 20 something. All of a sudden, I'm in this place that I would dream of looking at the castle, and now I'm at this place, and we literally processed the royal party in, like Cinderella style, like waltz them in, and then the protocol is the lowest ranking member or whatever comes in first, and then all of a sudden, no one can sit until like the crown prince walks in, but he doesn't sit. He grabs someone and they start like literally like walking around doing their thing. And they literally are doing like, you know, the traditional dances with the big ball gowns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then after we process, the DJ hits it like,
no way.
They start hiking the dresses up. They're freaking taking shots. And I was like, yo. It was crazy. So I'm like, everybody turns up.
So they get lit in Norway.
They got lit, all the way lit, and the party did not stop. Like, they were stumbling out. It was spectacular. I'm not saying that the crown prince himself did all that, but let me just say, I did see some of it. The royal party went the hell in, for real.
I'm going to Norway.
Go.
Next trip to Norway.
That's it.
We're getting crunk. So look, we're about to take a short break, but when we get back, we are going to talk to Andre about his TV series, the books, and of course, the new Netflix special, Raising Dion. So you guys stay tuned to the Paradigm Shift Combo. And we are back with producer, songwriter, educator, Mr. Andre Alexander. And we want to get into why stress when you can be happy. I heard that was a quote that you said. So I feel like you do have a very happy spirit, and stress is like...
I mean, everybody has stress. It's just...
Everybody
does. But watch this. I just feel like if you're doing what you love to do, the stress is not really stress. It's almost like... it's like just like going to the gym to exercise. Nobody says, crap, I'm pissed that I went to the gym to exercise today.
Right.
You know that the end result is, are, you know, is a leaner body, more muscles, all that cool stuff. So you deal with the stress because it's necessary, because you know it's going to benefit you eventually, or now, I should say.
Right.
So it's the equivalent of like, stress isn't called stress when you're happy.
Hmm.
It's just called, I worked hard today.
It's just the process.
That's it.
It's part of the like sweating when you work out.
Yes, versus okay. I'm just stressed. Like, who cares? Like, okay, that means you're not happy yet. Because you're not doing what it is you love to do, because now that's not really stress.
I like that.
Yeah.
We used to have this saying that says, like, pain is weakness
leaving the body. Of course, that's the military ethicness.
Right, it's kind of like stress, that's what it is. Like, yeah. Stress is just the process of happiness trying to get forward, right?
Yeah.
So I definitely feel that. So I want to go into your book series.
Okay.
Let's talk about Andre, the writer, and let's get into what that looks like for you and how that even started.
Got it. First of all, before we move too far ahead, September just played. I want to shout out to my friend Allie Willis, who's one of the writers for
that.
That was it. All right.
No, that's important.
That's really important. I had to, yeah. But as a writer, I was in Maryland, and I wanted to, you know, be an artist at one point in my life. So I was writing all these songs, and I didn't know what the hell to do next. I didn't know how to, you know, copyright anything. I didn't know anything about the business. And I was like, why, you know, all of these books that are written, that everybody reads, you know, the go-to books, they're so hard to read. I know, like, 3 people who've ever actually read the entirety of these books.
Right.
So I'm like, yo, I don't understand what's happening in here. So I was like, what if I set out to make basic music business concepts palatable for the average musician? They can just read this little book and go, yo, I understand why owning your masters is important. I understand how to protect myself legally. I understand, you know, copyrights and that cool. Like, how do I do that? So I set out to just write a small little book that any entry level, you know, musician, they could start here. And then once they've been in the industry for a little while, can then progress to those harder books, harder to read books.
Right.
So with this, that initial book is called "Build Your Music Career from Scratch." The second edition, the black cover is the first edition. I'm now on the white cover, which is the second edition. But I decided to do a series because after getting a master's degree in it, I realized we're still having the same issue, where people don't know that they can have an entire career doing cover songs. Or they say, I want to get music in film and television. How do I do that? Or how do I market music on social media? Or how do I, you know, handle, you know, my child is an artist and I want to manage my child. How is that possible? Like, little teeny books on basic stuff versus everybody's reading that 500-page Donald Passon book, which is spectacular. It is the book to go to. However, it's over a lot of people's heads. So I decided to be the, because I don't, who really wants to write? I'm not that person, right? Really. But I was like, I'm going to go to school and sacrifice my time so that I can gift this generation knowledge. Really, that was my goal. And everybody's like, this generation's, you know, they are the generation of, what's that word everybody says? Entitlement. They're entitled. Yeah. But I don't believe that. I just believe that they're smart. So saying that, I'm like, I just believe that this is the generation of freedom. Like, if I could name this generation, I would name this generation freedom, right? So if that's the case, how do I write books in a series of books to help them maintain their rights and be free artists? Meaning, one of my statistics, you know, over 40% of the revenue that's generated in the music industry is generated from independent musicians. So if that's the case, how do I empower them so that that it can go to 60% and 70%? And so they need to know how that can be a thing.
Right.
So I decided, like, yo, I need to just get some of the dopest friends that I have who are accountants and songwriters and producers. And yo, let's just write books, a book series, so that we can just give that to this generation. That's my goal.
Wow, that's crazy.
Thank you.
That's part of your education and giving, or you being an educator and giving back. I think that's super important.
I appreciate that.
I think that it's important to even discuss that because the music industry is so difficult, right? And you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And even me, like, I'm by trade, I'm an IT professional.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's thousands of books on cybersecurity. But again, it's like, even if I get that cybersecurity for dummies, still over my head.
Like,
You know, like, it's so refreshing to know that you're like, no, this is a beginner's book. And when I'm into, like, my finances, right? So when I get these financial books, I'm like, wait a minute. We went from not having stocks to figuring out how them not producing cotton in Arabia is going to produce my stocks. I'm like, wait a minute, wait.
What's happening? Yeah, exactly.
Where's the small? I need the steps. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's just very refreshing to know that you take so into your industry to say, hey, guys, here's a step-by-step. Because I feel like people don't do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's because more money is made by
Lack of knowledge. Exactly. No, look, literally, that's my thing. And, like, they'll say things like, yo, this person got a $1 billion deal. And that's phenomenal if that person, like, is Beyonce. We know she's going to generate a lot of, like, you know what I mean? Like, those artists. But you get these artists who are from small towns or come from, you know, places where $100,000 is a large sum of money. And they sign these deals. They'll sign anything for that check, not realizing that that's a loan that they have to pay back. So then all of a sudden, all that you hear as a child is they got a $1 million deal. And as a child, it's like, $1 million. Dang it. Now you're willing to go sign yourself up for slavery, you know, for whatever it takes to get that $1 million check, not realizing they're not giving you anything. That's a loan in advance that you have to pay back, recoup. You see? So it's like these concepts need to be told to, because the majority of people taking these shitty deals look like you and me.
Right.
So how can I help them if I don't tell them? So I'm like, I just feel like I'm not the only one doing this, of course, but I feel like it's a part of my purpose of being here, being in Los Angeles, going to school, you know, growing up with the desire to be a musician, to give back knowledge.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Because I watch, again, I love watching, I love watching TV, right? But one of the things I like watching is, like, The Voice. Mm-hmm. And then, like, so many times I'm watching The Voice and it'll be like, I've never got on a plane before and they're this amazing talent, and they're coming from bubblefuck nowhere, you know? And with all the social media and everything that's available to us by the touch of a button, people still don't know TLC's story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, no, that's real. Like, that happens all the time, every day. And the fact that that story has been pushed forward and they made a movie, and it's just so easy to find, and it seems like common conversation in our generation. Mm-hmm. People under us don't know.
Yeah.
Ignorant to it. Yeah. So despite the fact that there is something out there to say, hey, be careful, or hey, be mindful, there's, you know, it's just a generational gap that they just, like, all they see is what they see, not what they know.
Yeah.
And I think that your book is the knowledge gap necessary to get those things across. So I'm super grateful for that, especially when one of my favorite things is when Master P was saying, like, they offered $1 million. Yeah. He was like, that's when I knew I was worth more.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, that's the culture we need to be teaching.
Yeah. And think about this. The conversations that a lot of people have at the dinner table, we don't have, you know, because we're not eating at a dinner table. Hmm. We're just 80% of our time is we're eating in the car, you're walking to the bus, or you're in school. Like, we're not sitting at the table to discuss this. And then even people with the best of intentions don't know they don't know anything about the music industry. So it's like, how can I create something that you can, you know, a grandparent can gift to their rapper, you know, grandson.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, things like that. Or it's like, or let's say, yo, you're an artist and you have 5 people who want to work with you, but they don't know what to do. Like, yo, read the book on management, read the book on how to book gigs as an agent, read the book on social media. And now you built your own team, and all they have to do is focus on this one thing versus everybody reading that 500-page book and, like, still confused.
Right.
Like, yo, all you have to do is focus on this step by step. Dope, so it's like, dope. So how can I, it's like, make it as easy as possible.
So yeah. Is there like a book series name? Is there like an overall name? Not yet.
It's, this is such,
it's
a,
coming?
It's such a, we're in such the beginning stages, which like some of the books are already written, mm-hmm. but I haven't, I'm actually talking to some really big publishers and they're so interested. So I'm just like, because my goal, I self-published the first book and became a best-selling author on Amazon. That's how hungry everybody is for this information.
Right.
And so that's the, and then at my second edition of the book, I was blessed to be published with an actual publisher. So now I'm like, if that was that the case, how can I go to the absolute top two? And it's really not just about me being successful as an author, because I don't really care about being an author. It's like, how can I benefit the most people? So that, in my mind, is like, go to the biggest publishers on the planet to see if they can do this so that every university, every college, like, it's really about getting the information out. And then if somebody else comes out with a better series, like, this is better. And now that people still get it, the war, the battle of who's best was what I wanted.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Because so, now the information's not being, not being housed.
Yes. It's like, yo, who's going to give it out the best? I mean, who's going to give out the most knowledge? And now the information, the war is who's giving the most value to the people. And this is one of the last industries for the people to think. So I'm like, I want that. That is the goal. That is the dream. Like, I don't have to be the number one of the thing forever.
Just
like,
yo, pop it.
Yes.
Pop.
You know what I mean?
It's the same thing that happened happen. With financials.
Yes.
Right? Whenever, like, nobody knew shit about credit cards.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you can go online and be like, hey, I know how to fix your credit. Hey, I know how to stop this. Hey, I know
and
how to.
And now we're all benefiting. So that's like, that's what I want to happen. But somebody has it started versus the two books. It's like, yo, let's get this started.
I love that. Pioneering.
That's
what I'm talking about. You are the shift, my friend.
I'm the shift.
You are the shift in the paradigm and the pattern and the society. And I am super, super grateful for it. So let's talk about raising Dion.
Okay. I ended up in the barbershop. I, you know, don't
you
have
ended up in the barbershop?
I was at the barbershop because, you know, I needed it. I was looking like Wolfman. And I sit down and I hear this guy talking about his editors and them needing music and they're not giving the right music. And I was like, well, I'm a composer. Mm-hmm. I just jumped in the conversation. I was like, he's talking to somebody else. I'm just like, take a deep breath. And I was like, I just jump in like, yo, yeah, these musicians. And I just jump in the conversation. And I was like, cause that's my thing. I'm just like, jump in. Jumped in the conversation. Couldn't find out he was one of the head editors for a few series on the thing. And he was like, yo, give me some music. Gave him some music. I performed that weekend. He happened to be there to see somebody else. Saw me on the stage again. Next thing you know, I have music in Raising Dion.
Wow.
So that was it in like a 2 seconds.
So just kind of like speak it up.
I just jumped. I was like, yo, yeah, me too. I just literally, I don't even know what I said. I just jumped in the conversation and just started talking. Like, that was the thing. Like, that's what I do. And he talked back. He was initially like, who the hell is this? And then he just kept talking. I kept talking. In the conversation, now he's like a mentor to me.
Hey, that's how you live in LA right there. Close mouths don't get fed.
That's exactly it.
Close mouths don't get that's fed. It. He so can tell me like, okay, whatever. But at least I said what I said.
And I'm going to get fed every time. You see, I eat. You see this? Eat. Hey, I eat.
Hey, I like it. So before we end the show, I definitely want to give you the opportunity to, again, shout out where we can find this book on Amazon, where we can find more about you as an artist, a producer, just everything that is Mr. Andre Alexander. Let us know.
Well, honestly, like, I'm so bad at updating my website, but everything is AndreAlexander.com or Andre Alexander. Andre is spelled like Andre Crouch, A-N-D-R-A-E. Alexander. You can do that on Twitter. That's Instagram. That's Facebook. That's the website. All of that. If you follow me on Instagram, which is the best, I don't always post, but when I post, it's epic. So just follow me and just wait. And just know when I post, it's going to be the best thing you've ever seen in your life. And I will give you everything you need on one of my social media platforms.
And again, the book on Amazon.
The book is called Build Your Music Career from Scratch, second edition. The first edition is great. However, every edition gets updated. So I'm working on the third edition now. But currently, Build Your Music Career from Scratch, second edition. It's the white cover. The white cover is the current edition at the moment.
Awesome. Thank you, you guys. I want to go ahead and give Mr. Andre Alexander the shift salute. Shifting the paradigm is what we love to do here on the Paradigm Shift Convo. Andre, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This has been
another edition. Thank you guys for listening in.
Back in the day, wooden soapboxes were used as platforms for orators to speak to the masses. And now, these speakers are known as slammers, spoken word artists, poets, exposing divisive culture and their souls 3 minutes at a time. And this segment is my modern day wooden platform. So listen carefully as a new artist takes the stage and I bring you today's 90 Second Soapbox.
Don't make up for the rings around your eyes or those contusions or bruises on your thighs. Baby, you're worth so much more, and I want to prove to you that I'm a man about mine. I bring news to this cat. For every time that you cry, there's a feeling inside that feels like I died. And every time that he brought pain to your life, I came to wash away the hurt. I bring the rain to your life. Baby, I understand that he brings you gifts and things, but that don't mean shit when he splits your brains. I just want to deliver you home safe to your family before this dude rivers you. And we can take this one day at a time, cause it'll take some time to recondition your mind. So if you don't mind, baby, just take my hand and worry no more about this fake of a man. And that ain't part of God's plan. He ain't loving you right, so baby, please stop saying. Take my number and call me when you need. And whenever you get ready, I'll be all that you need. I won't promise you nothing, but I'll give you my world. And all you gotta do is let me into your world. I wanna cater to you. Please understand, I'm here to make things greater for you. There's nothing more pleasing than when a woman is pleased. I'm here to stand you up on your feet and get you up off your knees. Come and walk with me for a mere moment of conversation. Sit and talk with me. I don't need much. Just want to make you feel like you should and bring your self-esteem up. So if we can just team up, I'll raise my queen up and sit her on the throne to live all of her dreams up. And I just prefer that one to be you. And I give my greatest devotion to wonderful you. Baby, I'm your savior, lover, and your friend.
Sorry, motherfucker, I'm no longer your lover.
Another episode of the Paradigm Shift Convo. We are here every single Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For everything Simply Tea and to get previews to upcoming shows, visit simplyteepoetry.com. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. This is your girl, Simply Tea, Doubly Poetry. Y'all know what to do. Get at me. Let go.